The resurgence of Russia as a global superpower draws people worldwide to the Russian language and culture. First Deputy Prime Minister Dmitry Medvedev told this to an academic audience at Moscow's State University on days of Saint Martyr Tatiana on Friday. Widely celebrated by Russian students, the occasion marks the anniversary of this university's founding charter in 1755. The charter was granted by Empress Elizabeth, daughter of Peter the Great. Companies in Belgium dramatically stepped up investment in Russia in 2007. According to the Russian ambassador in Brussels, Vladimir Lukov, they laid out billions of euros in projects for joint industrial parks and big chemical works on Russian territory. Russia incorporates over 250 businesses with Belgium stakes. Belgium, in turn, welcomes big Russian names. Ukraine's opposition Regions Party is obstructing proceedings in parliament, saying the government must immediately recall its written application for gradual Ukrainian integration into NATO. The Regions and the Communists warn of crippling fallout with Russia if Ukraine joins the bloc and demand a national referendum on NATO membership. In polls, more than half of Ukrainian respondents are categorically opposed to joining the alliance. Friday marked the 70th birth anniversary of its singer and songwriting legend Vladimir Vysotsky. Recitals of poetry and art exhibits and concerts have been timed to this anniversary. Vysotsky died at the age of 42. Although he failed to win formal recognition, amateur recordings made his songs popular all over the Soviet Union. The Olympic development in Sochi ahead of the 22nd Winter Olympics in 2014 is on time and on budget. According to First Deputy Prime Minister Alexander Zhukov, over 200 modern venues are to be built. Some are already in place. They include well-facilitated tracks for freestyle skiing. And in tennis, Serbia's Novak Djokovic has unexpectedly knocked the world's number one, Roger Federer, out of the Australian Open. A semifinal meet between them went 7-5, 6-3, 7-6, and 7-5. The second finalist is even more sensational. He is Francis Joe Wilfred Tsonga. Despite being only 38th on the world rating table, this Afro-Frenchman easily demolished Spain's Rafael Nadal in a semifinal clash. His result is 6-2, 6-3, and 6-2. On the women's side, the final will be between Russia's Maria Sharapova and Serbia's Ana Ivanovic. And now then, the news, the headlines once again. President Vladimir Putin warns of serious consequences to world stability and international legal system from unilateral independence in Kosovo. Egypt urges rival Palestinian factions to come to terms. And the resurgence of Russia as a global superpower draws people worldwide to the Russian language and culture. That was the news from Moscow.
The Voice of Russia World Service presents Russia and the World, an update. This is Michael Chernik. Welcome to the program. In this edition, candidates gear up for March the 2nd presidential vote. Sergei Lavrov advises the British Council to comply with Russian laws. A news conference by Dmitry Rogozin, the newly appointed Russian representative in NATO. This and more in this edition of Russia and the World, an update. Analyzing the Russian political stage early this week, the Vzglyad business newspaper concludes that four of the five candidates vying for Russia's top job have no chance at all to win. That's why the newspaper says each of these four people will have to find a reason to justify their decision to run. More from Mike Sullivan.
The communist candidate Gennady Zyuganov's task to remain second is as simple as it is attainable. Indeed, the communists command a hardcore constituency, surefire slogans, and well-developed regional branches. And still, Gennady Zyuganov looks jumpy, apparently because he and his friends realize full well that President Putin's chosen successor, Dmitry Medvedev, appeals to an ever-growing number of voters ahead of the March the 2nd ballot. Another big headache is the Liberal Democratic chief Vladimir Zhirinovsky, who is breathing down Mr. Zyuganov's neck, threatening to ease him into third place, which in turn could spell a lot of personal trouble for the communist leader. To prevent this happening, the communists are apparently trying to up the ante with the party's number two, Deputy State Duma Speaker Ivan Mirnikov, going on record Wednesday. He denies speculation about Gennady Zyuganov considering the possibility he might quit the presidential race. But this only adds credence to those saying the rumors had been set afloat by the communists themselves. Frankly speaking, Mr. Zyuganov's decision not to run will hardly have any effect on the outcome of the March the 2nd vote, and all this talk is simply meant as a PR ploy with an eye to perpetuating the communist leader's second place. On the liberal side, ex-premier and Democratic opposition candidate Mikhail Kasyanov will fare much worse, with his dubious status of a single Democratic hopeful not even guaranteeing him the 2% he is notoriously known for. Giving a humiliating 1% in the March the 2nd election, Kasyanov will lose once and for all his status of a federal-level politician. With this bleak prospect in mind, Mr. Kasyanov would gain more by not being allowed to run and retaining his questionable role of Russia's main Democrat. Another man is Democratic Party leader Andrei Bogdanov. Known as a fierce advocate of Russia's integration into Europe, Mr. Bogdanov, a spin doctor just like everyone else in his party's leadership, had little problem collecting the 2 million signatures in support of his application. With Mikhail Kasyanov's exit, Andrei Bogdanov remains Russia's only liberal on the stump. And, of course, there is the liberal democratic boss Vladimir Zhirinovsky, who sticks to his buffoonery and tongue-in-cheek radicalism, where opposition rhetoric and loyalty to the Kremlin are intertwined in the most mysterious of ways. In the latest show of I'll Give Them Hell, Mr. Zhirinovsky and his supporters gathered outside the British embassy on Wednesday, demanding the expulsion of Ambassador Tony Blinken. No matter what, Mr. Zhirinovsky will collect his few percent on March the 2nd, confirming his status of a prominent politician and ensuring a contested presidential vote. Well, as we can see, each candidate has its own reasons to run, no matter how little those reasons may have to do with presidential elections proper. From Mike Sullivan.
You're listening to the Voice of Russia World Service, and the program is Russia and the World, an Update. Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov advised the British Council to respect Russia's laws in order to avoid any problems in its work in Russia. Speaking at a press conference in Moscow this week, Sergei Lavrov dismissed allegations that suspension of its activities in two Russian cities was in any way linked with the British-Russian diplomatic dispute over the Litvinenko murder case. More from our observer, Yuri Reshetnikov.
In a press conference earlier this week, which covered various subjects, Sergei Lavrov deemed it necessary to dwell at some length on the British Council's situation in Russia. He refused to see any linkage between the latest spat over the Council and the diplomatic dispute over London's demand to have its primary suspect in the murder of Alexander Litvinenko extradited to Britain for trial. In his earlier remarks, however, he did not sound as categorical about the reasons behind the Council's suspension order into Russian sitters issued by Moscow late last year. "We hear from time to time," he said this week, "that by taking action against the British Council, Russia is thus taking revenge of sorts for the Lugovoy case that London once pursued in Britain, and thus Moscow wants to throw roadblocks in this matter." This line of reasoning, according to Lavrov, may go down well with the general public in Britain and create an image of an uncouth bear that would do whatever it pleases. But this perception is wrong, he added, because it would completely ignore the background to this dispute. Lavrov went on to recall that in keeping with the 1994 agreement between Russia and Britain, stipulating their cultural cooperation, both sides will engage in cultural exchanges on the basis of specific laws of each of the recipient parties. The Russian law stipulates that this country's authorities need to issue a special permit for the operation of a cultural center. And according to Lavrov, the British side did not even bother to seek one. This would imply that since 1994, the British government operated its cultural arm in Russia without so much as applying for a permit, and without getting one, which is completely illegal. It remains unclear, however, why the British Council was able to operate in Russia illegally for so long, and why the problem surfaced only recently. Generally speaking, many other countries have long opened and operated their cultural offices in Russia without any trouble. Presumably, they have not applied for and received specific permits. Sergei Lavrov cited, for example, the Goethe Cultural Center run in Russia by Germany, and Spain's Cervantes Center, in addition to the U.S. Cultural Center, which is incidentally housed in the same building as the British Council in Moscow. Whenever they want anything in Russia, Lavrov pointed out, they apply to us and get a corresponding agreement. And we suggest that our British colleagues follow the same procedure, Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov advised.
That was from our observer, Yuri Reshetnikov. You're listening to the Voice of Russia World Service, and this is Russia in the World, an update. Russia's politician and diplomat, Dmitry Rogozin, held a press conference in Moscow in view of his recent appointment as the country's ambassador to NATO. Mr. Rogozin made a few announcements related to the current political situation in the world and Russia-NATO relations.
До отъезда в Брюссель я провел консультации с руководителями российских ведомств, министерств, которые связаны с проблематикой сотрудничества с Североатлантическим альянсом. Известно, что в контекст отношений между Россией и НАТО входят не только вопросы военного характера.
Before leaving for Brussels, Dmitry Rogozin says, I had a few consultations with the leaders of Russia's ministries and organizations dealing with cooperation with NATO. Apart from military topics, Russia and the alliance have many other issues for discussion, including terrorism and drug trafficking. Not only Russia, but also all other civilized states are facing these threats nowadays. There is also an important thing, to share experience and knowledge to make joint cooperation more effective, to prevent ecological and technogenic catastrophes. That is why joint exercises of Russian and NATO forces are so important. Commenting on relations between Russia and NATO, Dmitry Rogozin said that NATO members should be aware that no country is allowed to protect its strategic interests by violating somebody else's security. Everyone deserves human attitude. For instance, U.S. plans to deploy missile elements in Eastern Europe provoked a split among NATO members. Washington made the decision without consulting all other members of the organization. Actually, the United States wants Europe to sacrifice its security for the sake of Americans, while all the continents deserve security. It would be very logical for Russia, Europe, and the United States to establish a common anti-missile system. Mr. Rogozin also spoke about other thorny issues, Kosovo, Iran, and Afghanistan. He noted that it would be better to discuss Iran's nuclear program in the same aspect as U.S. missile plans in Poland and the Czech Republic. Commenting on the Kosovo issue, Dmitry Rogozin repeated Russia's official stand, emphasizing that a unilateral recognition of Kosovo's independence will have very negative consequences for the whole world, since there are plenty of disputable territories across the world, in Spain, in Northern Ireland, and in many other regions. Russia's position is based on the norms of international legislation. Moscow respects the right of other countries to protect their territorial integrity. This material was contributed by Vladimir Golovkin. You're listening to Russia and the World, an update coming to you from the Voice of Russia World Service. The 25th of January is a special day for Russian students, which is better known as St. Tatiana's Day. The first semester and mid-year exams are over, and it's time to relax now. A report from Sergei Mizurkin.
The history of the student day goes back to January 25th, 1755, when Her Majesty Empress Elizaveta signed a decree establishing a state university in Moscow. By a lucky chance, it coincided with the happy time for students, the end of mid-year exams. More from rector of Moscow State Lomonosov University, Виктор Садовничий.
Указ о создании Московского университета был подготовлен Ломоносовым, и Ломоносов обратился за покровительством к Шувалу Ивану Ивановичу, который был близок к Елизавете, он, так сказать, был фаворитом Елизаветы.
The idea of founding a Moscow university belonged to the outstanding Russian scientist Mikhail Lomonosov. He prepared a corresponding decree and asked Count Ivan Shuvalov, the Empress's favorite, to persuade her to sign it. Elizaveta was very fond of Shuvalov. To please her darling, she signed the decree on the 25th of January, the day when his mother, named Tatiana, was born. Later, this day became a holiday for all Russian students. At the Moscow State University, it opens with a traditional prayer at the St. Tatiana Chapel. One can see many first-year students here. Yulia Shushakova is one of them.
Но день студенчества я поступила не с первого раза, ждала этого праздника несколько лет, поэтому, кажется, я его сегодня отмечаю с особенным восторгом.
I believe in God and often go to church, light candles and pray. This is my first student day, the day I've been looking forward to for years, and I am overjoyed. Only once a year on St. Tatiana's Day, one can see Moscow University rector Viktor Sadovnichy treating students in person to raw alcohol honey beverage Medovuha in the university courtyard. Grisha Tulin says this is the funniest of the student day's rituals.
Для меня это значит праздник молодости и студенчества. Праздник большой и, пожалуй, один из главных в году, даже круче, чем Новый год.
This is a holiday of youth and studenthood. For me, it's the best of holidays, even better than New Year's. There is plenty of feasting, merrymaking and fun on the student day, which is celebrated in all higher schools across Russia.
A report from Sergei Mizurkin. This is Russia and the World, an update coming to you from the Voice of Russia World Service. Now, news without politics. Space photographs warn Russian traveler Fyodor Konyukhov that the Antarctic waters are full of icebergs and table-sized chunks of floating ice. Konyukhov who's going to circumnavigate the Antarctic region, has received space photographs from an American weatherman, Bruce Lee, who has, for years now, been telling him what he's likely to face during his travels. Another thing Bruce Lee says ahead of the forthcoming voyage is that Konihav is in for a spell of rough and rainy weather. Yelena Isumbayeva, who has broken many world records in pole vaulting, has for the fourth time on her personal record been nominated for an award of the Laureus World Sports Academy, which equals an Oscar in sports. If Russia's Isumbayeva beats five adversaries in the final round of ballot casting, she will be proclaimed Athlete of the Year in her home city of St. Petersburg. A Colombian, Jaime Garcia, has again proved being a flesh and bone computing machine. He broke one of his own records in front of the teaching faculty and students of Madrid's Complutense University, battling off the 150,000 figures that follow the dot in the irrational number. It took Garcia 3 days to rattle off the 150,000 figures. A Canadian scholar, Michael Meaney, has been awarded $100,000 for a paper on a time-tested way to calm down children. Meaney says the feel of a parent's hand induces chemical changes in some component parts of the child's DNA. Germans spend a total of 3 billion euros a year on their domestic animals. There are 23.2 million domestic animals and no end to fishbowl pets and pet reptiles in Germany. Higher than knee spike heel black boots and a fingering are the only things that an Italian singer and ex-fashion model Carla Bruni wore for a picture in the February edition of a Spanish magazine for men. A resident of Louisiana, Vicky Armstrong, has spent 19 years collecting one-cent coins. She had piled up 55,000 pennies before she decided earlier this week that she was ready to exchange that wealth for $550 in paper money. That was News Without Politics. And there we end this edition of Russia and the World, an update, which came to you from the Voice of Russia World Service.
On the Voice of Russia World Service, we present Spotlight on the Young, a series of programs about talented young Russians. You may listen to the programs hosted by Tamara Murzina and Sonia Tikhomirova twice a week, starting from October the 28th. The first round will be at 3:20 p.m. UTC. Welcome to Spotlight on the Young. Every Sunday at 3:30 and 8:30 a.m. and 3:20 and 8:20 p.m. UTC. Monday at 3:20 and 9:30 a.m. and 9:30 p.m. UTC. Wednesday at 3:30 and 8:30 a.m. and 6:30 and 9:30 p.m. UTC. Friday at 4:30 and 8:30 p.m. UTC. And Saturday at 3:30 a.m. UTC. Join us on the Spotlight.
And now here's an announcement. We address those of our listeners who have access to the Internet. You will be able to learn more about the World Service in English by visiting the Voice of Russia website at the following address, www.ruvr.ru. The World Service on English website offers transcripts of some of our regular features, such as Our Homeland, New Market, Musical Tales, Russia, 1,000 Years of Music, The Christian Message from Moscow and its weekly supplement, Spiritual Flower Bed, and also A Stroll Around the Kremlin, This is Russia, and People of Uncommon Destiny. Our topical commentaries and daily editions of News Without Politics are posted in the Tidbits of the Week section. I'll repeat the address of the World Service website, www.ruvr.ru. Thank you for joining us on the Internet.